I got a hot one for you. Check this out. This is pretty cool. Check this out. Would you check this out? I like this. Where do you hear this? Yeah, this is a good one right here. I'm going to lay something on you right here, right now. And I want you to appreciate this. So check this out. There was no excuse, really, for anyone living in our Lord's day who knew Daniel's prophecy to reject him. How's that for a great way to begin this show? Good morning, this is Martin Zender, and you're at the Revelation Series, and here's a revelation for you. There was really no excuse for anyone living in our Lord's day who knew this prophecy, that is Daniel chapter 9, to reject Jesus Christ. At the great white throne, they'll be saying, "But we didn't know. How were we to know?" And they had the scrolls. They had the prophecy of Daniel right in front of them. "It's too hard." Yeah, but you had teachers. You had people who knew. You had people who could read it and bring it to you. But you didn't want, you're just like the people today, you didn't want to dig. You didn't want to look one level beneath the surface. You didn't want to listen to your prophets, to your teachers, because like today, you heaped up for yourselves teachers in accord with your own desires. I don't know what your own desire would be other than the coming of Christ. That would be great. But apparently, it's too much. Too much giving up of yourself because you want to run your life. You want to bring in your kingdom. Well, you already have your kingdom. And Jesus bringing another kingdom is just going to have to kick you off of your precious throne. And you don't like that. That's okay, Israel. Many people don't like it today. Israelites and non-Israelites. And of course, we have to consider this, also known as the other hand. On the other hand, how could Israel do otherwise when it was definitely foretold that he would be cut off, and there would be no adjudication for him? I failed to mention that second half. Messiah will be cut off, and there will be no adjudication for him, and that had to happen, so the very people who should have been looking for him are going to be the ones cutting him off. Well, he says it's going to be cut off, Harold, but how could he be cut off? Because you're the people who are going to cut him off. Yeah, so you don't want to believe what's plainly stated, instead believing for a successful political Messiah in that day. And because you didn't get that successful political Messiah, he's out gallivanting with fishermen, Harold. You decide you hate him, and so you're complicit in killing him. And so you fulfill the very word in Daniel 25 that you don't understand. Is it really possible we did this, Harold? Yeah, you did do it. It's very possible. It happened. It's not only possible, it's historical fact. And the same thing's going to happen today. Because Christians can't believe that they're not in the front table at the wedding feast. When they don't even believe in Jesus, they believe in the pop icon Jesus. And so they're looking, again, for a teacher who's heaped up in accord with their own desires. They're looking for the pop icon Jesus who is in accord with their own desires. When he does not come, they're going to be pissed. And when the real Messiah does come, they're not going to recognize him because, in a way, he has come. His words are being proclaimed by those of us in the body of Christ who are ambassadors of Christ, as of God entreating through us. And he's rejected all over again. Oh, Harold, is it possible for... Yes, it's very possible. You're doing it again, because you haven't learned anything from the past, because the past keeps repeating itself. God's in a big, fat, hairy, glorious, predictable rut. Jesus Christ told his followers, the fishermen I mentioned earlier, and the prostitutes and tax collectors, the riffraff, that Daniel's second period had run its course. That is the 62 sevens that followed the seven sevens, which makes the 69 sevens. This is what he said. This means that when Jesus Christ was on earth, there was one seven left to complete. He said this in Mark 1:15. I talked to you about this when I was in the bunker in Brazil. But now listen to this. He said, fulfilled is the era and near is the kingdom. Such precise language. Fulfilled is the era and near is the kingdom. He didn't say fulfilled is the kingdom. The era was fulfilled. The era was the first 69 sevens, the first period. That was the era that was fulfilled. And that's why people knew he was, this was his time. They knew the general time. When somebody started humming about a Messiah in Israel, they looked in Daniel's prophecy, that is the astute ones, and they said, yeah, the timing is right. So whether it was his coming into Jerusalem on the donkey, or whether it was his baptism in the Jordan River, which I tend toward, or his announcement that these scriptures are fulfilled in your hearing at Nazareth when he comes out of the temptation of the wilderness, people would have gone, yeah, this is the time.
It can't be the time, Harold. It just can't be the time. Because all that everybody's said for years that the Messiah was coming, they've all been wrong. How many times have we heard it, Harold, over the years? Oh, Messiah's here. This is the Messiah. Always been wrong. Therefore, this can't be him. It's impossible. Because we're modern people. We can't be right. Who do we think we are? This could be the Messiah. Why in the world would the Messiah come in our day? Who do we think we are? This is the disease that has got some of us today. Because it's never happened. Who are we? Who are we to think that we are the last generation? Guess what? You are. Sorry, it's not because you're great. It's not because you're smart. It's not because you're well-behaved. It's just that this 6,000 years from Adam have passed. That's it. Simple. And I can say this to this crazy lady in Israel's day, in the Messiah's day. The 69 sevens, that is the 483 years, had come to pass. Simple. That's why all the people who were saying the Messiah was here years before that, that's why they were wrong.
You're telling me it has to do with the number of days?
Yes, it has everything to do with the number of days.
And if the number of days are fulfilled, that's the time, period. So, fulfilled is the era, yet near is the kingdom. Genius. Now, most of us may have a vague idea about the era which Jesus spoke of, because we don't know Daniel, we don't know the prophets, but the Jews could hardly mistake his reference to the prophetic period, which had been so clearly, and I emphasize the word clearly, foretold, and whose end was near, because they could figure it out for themselves. They had a copy of the scroll at their home, just like you have a copy of the scriptures in your home, and you all have a little computer, and you can watch this show for free. He told them two distinct things, Jesus did. He told them that the era leading to his own presence was fulfilled, but not the time of the kingdom. That was only near. So his whole ministry to Israel was based upon these facts and numbers and the progression of years. And none of these things can be understood apart from these facts. These facts are important. Jesus Christ came at the end of the 69 sevens according as Daniel had predicted by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus Christ heralded the nearness of the end of the 77s. So we're still near it. We're still near it. And it will be because we're in this time period unforeseen by the prophets, the administration of the grace of God, which occupies, no coincidence, 2,000 years, which is two prophetic days, and a prophetic day is compared to a watch in the night. And we have had 2,000 years of darkness, even though Christ came after four watches of the night, and he became the second Adam, and he illuminated it. He died, but he rose from the dead, went to heaven, and ever since he's been back to heaven, things have been going to shit. Really. And so there's been another two watches of the night, 2 days of darkness. But Paul says, or somebody says, probably Paul, Jesus said it too, let your light shine out of the darkness. Paul says, out of the darkness light shall be shining. And it's a dark world, and that's a great opportunity for you to shine the light of Christ. Basically, all you got to do is sit there and smile, and you're a brilliant beacon of grace, hope, love, because the world is so dark. All you got to do is sit there and smile. I say good morning to people, you know, when I'm on my walks or on my runs. You wave to somebody that's walking their dog, and they don't say anything. They just look. Ah, too cool for school? I always say that under my breath. I can't help it. Ah, too cool for school, huh? Okay. There are nice people. I used to tell my sons, just when you meet someone, when you're applying for a job, or just when you meet someone, shake their hand and look them in the eye. Give them a firm handshake. Don't hand them a dead fish. Don't hand them a mackerel or a scrod. Just shake their hand firmly, look them in the eye, and you'll rise to the top of the class. And they followed my advice because they're smart kids, and they're doing well in life because they have a firm handshake and they look people in the eye. So if you do that, you'll rise above. This wouldn't have worked back in the day. You had to have much more going on back in the day when the world wasn't this dark and it wasn't this stupid. But now the world is so dark and so stupid that, just give them a firm handshake and you're hired. Yeah, just don't chew gum at the interview and you're hired. You know, have your pants all the way pulled up and you're hired. It's like, it's a miracle. This guy has his pants pulled up and he's not chewing gum. Wow, this woman's not painting her nails and talking on her cell phone during the interview. That's amazing. You're hired. It's the era we're living in, folks. So, two definite events of sensational significance will give any spiritual believing Israelite who is even slightly acquainted with Daniel, definite dates from which to determine the time of the return of Christ in glory. I did say definite dates. And believe me, I'm not done going through Bader's book to show you definite dates, definite times marking significant events in Israel's history. Again, the first significant date ahead of us is the imposition of a covenant on the Jews. And I think this is coming. I think this whole thing with Trump in Israel, the Middle East, and everything, there's going to be a peace deal. There's coming an imposition of a covenant ratified by a majority in the land, which restores to them their ritual, or at least guarantees them the free exercise of their religion for a period of 7 years. Yeah, well, at least half of that 7 years, because the conditions, that covenant's going to be revoked. And it will take no brilliant chronologist at that point to set a date for the return of Christ, because anyone can figure out for himself that exactly 42 months from the breaking of the covenant at the middle of the last 7 years of Daniel's prophecy, that is 1,260 days, at the 1,260th day, Jesus Christ will return to the Mount of Olives. It'll be a simple matter of arithmetic. Arithmetic. That's it. Your question might be, what did A. Enoch think about this 7,000-year plan of God? Well, he actually writes about it here in Concordance Studies in the Book of Daniel. This is a book that you can acquire for yourself. You might be able to read it free online. I'm not sure. At concordant.org. Check out expositions. Check out books. Just check out everything. They have a great website, concordant.org. A lot of free stuff there, articles. You can read brilliant articles by brilliant people. Articles there by Dean Huff, by James Corum, of course by A. Enoch, Adlai Lowdy. And you'll also be able to access Unsearchable Riches magazine, which was a great treasure house of wealth for me when I first started looking into these things in detail back in 1986. My search into the scriptures began in 1979, April of 1979. I bought my first Bible. Being a Catholic, we didn't need the Bible. Well, we had a picture Bible at home when I was a kid. My parents read me stories through there, and I looked through it myself when I was a kid. So I give my parents great credit for having the Bible in the home, in spite of the Catholic Church. You don't need the Bible. We'll read it to you. We'll tell you what it says. But then I realized that the Catholic Church did so many things that weren't in the Bible, and I realized that when I finally bought a Bible for myself. That was in the spring of 1979. I became a Christian for 4 years I was a Christian. Ooh, that was just the way God had for me. And then I became a believer. Might have been a Christian for 5 years. 7 years? Could I have been a Christian for 7 years? Crap. Possibly. But in 1986 is when my giant box from the Concordant Publishing Concern came. I said, send me one of everything. They said, we will, but you have to send us $210. Fair enough. Send them $210. I got a box. It's like Christmas. So rich, so great, so intellectual. Satisfied my intellect, satisfied my logic. And yet it was completely spiritual at the same time. I said, this is for me. This makes sense. Wow. I have to master this. And for 8 years, that's what I did. Well, I didn't master it, but I tried. And now I'm talking to you. 30 years later. All right. Mr. Nock is going to give his opinion of this 7,000-year plan of God and how we can use the passage of years from Adam to calculate the coming of the kingdom on earth, this ramshackle earth. Is going to be rejuvenated. It's going to be born again. It's going to come through the birth canal and be beautiful. The birds will be singing again happily. All the rose bushes will be completely flourishing. You know, every thorn on a rose bush is a stunted rose. Did you know that? Every thorn is a stunted rose. There were no thorns before Adam sinned. Nice going, buddy. But the curse is going to be removed and every thorn will become a rose bush. Wow. Can you imagine Mother's Day? Ooh.